We here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Amen. So we're looking at a series called Healthy and Happy, and this is part two. And I would have given you CDs from last week, but they're all out, unfortunately. This morning they went really quickly, so you can get the teachings online. It was really an impactful Sunday, last Sunday, and God just broke open how He restored all the way. What Adam lost, Jesus literally, step by step, gave it all back to us. And then Romans 5 says that much more. What Adam lost, much more Jesus gave. What Adam lost, Jesus much more restored. And then in the breaking of bread, then we saw what Jesus is all about. So this whole series is based on Acts 13:52 that says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You want to be a disciple, you want to be filled with joy, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a good life, amen? That's what I want to live. It's going to be good. So joy is the word kara, which you get from kairos. Charis, which is grace, you also get from kairos. So joy and grace go together. Amen. So this should be a happy church because this is a grace church. So this is what it's all about. It means that God is really, sometimes I think we feel like if we're going to be happy, we're going to offend God. We need to be solemn, brothers. We need to have white ties and sit still. And I mean, what did your parents tell you when you grew up? You must still sit in the car. You must drag like. I want to be happy, man. I am happy because there's good news, and good news is Jesus. Amen. So, let's see where this goes tonight. But Acts 28:23 says, "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging." Now, this speaks about Paul. Paul is sort of, everyone tells him, listen, if you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to be tied up. You're going to die. You're going to get bad persecution. And he just keeps on, I'm going. God said, I'm going. A prophet literally comes to him, takes his belt off, and binds himself and says, Paul, this is a picture of what's going to happen to you. And Paul says, so what? They literally, like, please, Paul, they cry. They say, don't go. And I mean, that prophecy wasn't false. It was a true prophecy. But yet he still went. So at the end of Acts, sort of everything comes together. And there's an appointed day. And then people came to Paul. And Paul rented a house. Now this morning I said, that's a word for someone. If you feel like condemned because you don't own a house, Paul rented a house in his old age. Amen. So it's all right. You can still get to heaven with a rented house. That's good news. But if you want to buy a house, that's also fine. Many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained solemnly and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets. So Paul spoke about things and he taught things and he testified of the kingdom of God. And we all are ready to say amen to the kingdom and let's build kingdom and let's preach kingdom. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom and he's the king of kings. But do we know what kingdom is? Kingdom is not just a bunch of churches working together, amen. Kingdom is not just the ministers of God all finding their lane and then operating in that. That's part of kingdom. But kingdom has a mission. There's a mission to kingdom. Kingdom wants to accomplish something. Kingdom wants to reach some people. I think I'm going to stand here tonight. Paul testified of the kingdom of God and he persuading them concerning the things of Jesus. He showed them Jesus from the law of Moses and he showed them Jesus from the prophets. And we looked at it last week. That's what Jesus did. The cure for sadness, despair, and bad news is seeing Jesus, not in person, but in the Word. That's how Jesus counseled. That's how Jesus ministered. The disciples were just so sad and laid, like they were just like distraught. Why is Jesus dead? Where is Jesus? We thought he's going to be the Savior. And then Jesus Jesus could just say, listen, Isaac, it's me, it's Jesus. You can feel better now. He constrained their eyes and he showed them Jesus in the Scriptures. Human logic says, Jesus, it was very unfair if you showed them yourself in the flesh, because today, me and you, we can't see Jesus in the flesh. So just to be fair, he showed them Jesus in the scriptures. Just to be fair to me and you. No, that's not what happened. Jesus literally wanted the best for them, and that is the only reason why he showed them Jesus in the scriptures. And then as soon as he revealed himself, he disappeared. No, as soon as they ate the bread, they saw him, their eyes perceived who this guy actually really is. And in the breaking of bread, Jesus is revealed. And in a moment, he's taken away, because it's not about Jesus in the flesh anymore. It's all about Jesus in the flesh before the cross. But it's all about Jesus in heaven, in the Word, after the cross. And that is what is the cure for bad news, for sadness, and for despair. And now Paul continues this. Why? Where did he see this? Who gives us license to go and pick out pictures and stories in the Old Testament and take out Jesus from that and highlight Jesus like I'm going to do later in the story of Gideon, or highlight Jesus in the story of Genesis? Who gives us license to do that? Jesus. Jesus did. He was the first one that preached like that. I think it's pretty good. I like to preach like that. I like to preach Jesus out of the Old Testament. And then Paul picked up something from Jesus and he says, I'm going to do what Jesus did. Because why? Jesus said, you can do what I did and greater things. So when you read David, like, say, God, Holy Spirit, you lead me, you guide me into all truth. So Holy Spirit, show me Jesus in this situation. Show me Jesus. Show me the story of eternity in every story in the Bible. That's pretty good. God wants to do that for you. So he speaks to them about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets, and he goes on and on from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Some people think church is a good idea. Some people don't. Some people hear the same message, some believe, and some disbelieve. It's not about you as the minister necessarily, because I think Paul was a pretty good minister. Yet even he could not get through to everyone. So if you share the message, and yes, Friday I wanted to pray for a lady. This morning I shared a bit more on it. I wanted to pray for a lady. I saw her limping and coming to help me in a certain store. And I said, ma'am, I can see that you're hurt. And she said, yes, sir, I am. It's really bad. And I'm like, she is a salesperson, so she needs to be on her feet, and she's got a foot problem. I mean, there's not much worse than that. She would not let me pray for her because she does not think that it's going to work. A lot of people think Christianity doesn't work. Guess what? I've tasted it. I've seen it. And it works. It works. If it doesn't work, I'm missing something maybe. Or there's just a misalignment, or there's a key to my heart that's not unlocked, or there's one thing that I don't see that how God is that he actually is like, but it works. I've lived it too long now, 7 years. You cannot tell me that it doesn't work. No, it's not 7 years. Since 2007. It's, luckily, that's a bit longer. Amen. I've been happy. Yes, I have attacks and challenges like anyone else. I've had symptoms, but I've been happy, honestly, since 2007. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Has everything gone according to plan? Definitely not. Amen. I didn't plan to stand here. I didn't plan to go through the things that I've gone through. I didn't plan to give up what I've given up. But I've been joyful. Because joyful is not circumstantial. Joyful is spiritual. For the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, patience. So come to Greg Moore's Bible school teaching, and he's going to show you what joy is and that it's spiritual. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, God did not give you a spirit of fear. So fear is spiritual. Ephesians 6, Paul writes and he says, you need to take the full armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yeah, but Peter, you haven't seen my neighbor. I mean, that's flesh and blood. That I'm wrestling with him. No, there's something in operation. There's something in his spirit. There's something in his thinking. There's something in his background. But yeah, but Peter, you haven't seen my boss. My neighbor maybe, but my boss. No. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual authorities in high places. High places is in your thinking. You don't need to go up to Table Mountain with your Bible and pray because we're now praying in high places. Guess what? It's not that high. Ask Haley what is high. She's been to Colorado. That's high. That's 14,000 feet. If you want to go high places to beat the devil, it's cold there. When I read the Bible, it's hot where he comes from, so I'm not sure if he's there. It's in our heads. It's in our thinking. It's in our spirits. So we've got a spirit, we've got a soul, and we've got a body. And if we're struggling with fear, we need to change our mindset. To put more burglar proofing on your house is not going to kill fear. To get armed response is not going to kill fear. To sleep with a gun under your pillow, it's not going to kill fear. Instead, it will do the opposite. Because you become aware of all the challenges that that's going on around you, all the things of the world. I like that song that says, put your eyes on Jesus, look full in His magical face, glorious face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The things of the world, the answer to the things of the world is not to understand them, it's not to be ready for them, it's not to figure it out, it's to be consumed with light, consumed with goodness, consumed with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit, God is a Spirit, and if you are born again, you are one Spirit with Him. Now, what is that Spirit? There's benefits. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You thought that only your company gives benefits. No, guess what? God's got some good benefits. There's benefits, and the benefits include that you can deal with fear. No, the benefits is better than that. The benefits means that God will deal with your fear on your behalf if you allow Him. For it's not your job. 1 John 4 says that perfect love casts out fear. God is love. So God's job is to cast out fear in your heart. Your job is to allow God in and then allow God to do His job. Because you cannot have a spirit of fear if the fullness and the perfection of God's love shows up in your life. Don't know who did it. No one came to me. I said, you can have an opportunity to testify after last week. Who went home in the dark and switched on the light? No one. You must do these things. It's practical. You switch on the light, the darkness flees. You switch on love, and fear dissipates. You just focus on God's love. You focus on who He is. You don't stress, you don't wrestle, you don't focus on fear. You don't manage fear. You be consumed with love. And when you're consumed with love, the job description, literally the job description of love is to cast out fear in your heart, in your life. For God did not give you the spirit of fear. God is a spirit. He is a spirit of love. But the spirit that God gives us is a spirit of power. A spirit of power. A spirit that gives us a sound mind. A spirit of love. That is who God is. That is what He wants for us to experience in our fullness. Our fullness is all that God has. God does not want us to live in anxiety and fear. Verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when He had said these words, the Jews departed. Why? Because they were selfish. They wanted it all for them. Guess what? There's enough of Jesus to go around. There's enough love to go around. There's enough blessing for your but neighbor, the person next to you, to get blessed, and then still, guess what? God has something left over to give to you too. To check the condition of your heart, how do you react if someone you know gets blessed and you know they don't deserve it as much as you think you do? Guess what? No one deserves it. You know what you deserve? I've said this to people. I said, you deserve hell. So don't come with all this. You deserve hell. But because of Jesus, you're not going there. You're going where He's at. The Gentiles will hear it. The Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. There it is. And received all who came to him. What did he do? He rented a house, so he was the man of the house. He paid the rent so he could speak what he wanted to speak. That's a word for someone. In your house, your rules. Stand up. No sickness in my house. No lack in my house. No depression, no negativity in my house. I pay the rent for this house. I say how things go in this house. Devil, you didn't pay the rent in this house. You don't have a say in this house. You leave. You stand up for what you believe in. What was he preaching? He was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. I like that. He was preaching with confidence. He wasn't like, maybe, yes, no. He was sure of what he was speaking about. So he was preaching the kingdom and he was teaching the things concerning Jesus. Now, what is the kingdom? Again, I'm going to ask you. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. I mean, I like eating and drinking. But I'm glad the kingdom of God is more than that. Amen. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, rightness with God, knowing that you are just as right with God as God is with himself. Knowing what righteousness means. That is key, and we teach on it a lot. We really teach on it a lot here. You need to know that. You need to be ingrained that you are right with God. Then peace. What is peace? Peace is powerful, actually. Peace brings power. It brings stability. It brings a lot of things into your life, but it brings God, the essence of God. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you peace. Not like the world gives. Not like the salons and the spas and the holidays give. No, not like that. No, I'm going to give you peace. My peace. And I'm not just going to give you a piece of my peace. I give you all of it. Because the very essence and nature of God is peace. If Jesus says that he leaves us his peace, why do we think God is angry? Why do we think God is always angry? The default picture of God is angry. And God wants to change the default in your heart. Romans 12 speaks all about us renewing our minds, a total transformation of your thinking. And guess what Romans 2 also includes? It includes the gifts of the Spirit. So only when we transform our minds, when we become living sacrifices, then transform our minds, then all of a sudden, the gifts of the Spirit starts flowing. And then all of a sudden, the gifts, the supernatural starts just developing in our lives and flowing through. But it starts off with knowing that my life is not much worth much without Jesus. But with Jesus, it's worth everything. It starts off with knowing that I need to change my thinking because I can no longer think like the world. People get up and they leave this country because it's so bad here. And they don't know where they're going. But when they get there, they want to come back. If you need to go, you need to go with God. Because it's not going to be better there if you're not going to have God there. If you need to stay, you need to stay with God. Because we need to, in this place, be a light. We need to bring hope. We need to shine peace. I've traveled the world. I mean, if God says go, I'll go. But I'm very happy to stay right here. I'm very happy because it's not always better on the other side. The grass is greenest where you water it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is kingdom. So, righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he who made him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. So I want to show you three things. The kingdom has got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three pieces. The kingdom consists of righteousness. There, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it's the righteousness of God. You are just as right with God is with himself. Then it says, then there's peace. The kingdom of God includes peace. Peace is John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. God gives it to you. Jesus gives it. You don't need to pay for it. You don't need to... I wanted to say you don't need to meditate for it, but it will be good to meditate on the peace of God. If you meditate on the word of God, the peace of God will become evident in your life. But you don't need to do yoga to find peace. You need to do Jesus. Amen? Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's the righteousness of God, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and then the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus said, Acts 1:8, that you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. My Bible now says that you'll receive joy. Joy is power. If you are joyful, you're standing out. If you are joyful, you've got influence. If you are joyful, people want to be with you. People are drawn to you, and that makes that there's power. If you're not in faith, you're usually not happy. Once you get happy, you get in faith. Once you're in faith, you get happy. Once you realize the goodness of God, you get happy. You get full of faith. You get full of joy. It's not circumstantial. It's spiritual. Faith is the same. It's on the inside. So there's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Look at some joy scriptures with me. Philippians 4 verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. My joy and my crown. Joy is part of your royal inheritance. I like that so much. Joy is part of your royal inheritance. Paul speaks to his beloved, the people that he's reached. He says, you are my joy. You are my crown. I don't need a golden crown because I've reached people for Jesus. I don't need to have joy. I don't need to just watch comedy movies the whole time because guess what? That's not joy. That's happiness and laughter. A happy heart is good medicine. Amen. Some days when I feel not so good, I'll watch some comedy and guess what? I feel better. That's biblical. You can do that. But you can add some word to that. And guess what? I think God has a sense of humor because we do. And he said we're made in his image and likeness. Amen. So I don't think he's going to fall off his throne the moment you make a joke with him. Anyway, side note. You are my crown. You are my joy. So stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Don't fall over. Stand fast in joy because you are my joy. You are my crown. True joy is not found in things, but rather in doing the will of the Father and seeing people being added to the kingdom of God. This week, we saw 43 kids get saved in Brackenfell Primary School. That is joy. That is joy. This afternoon, they saw people saved in Solaris Pass. That is joy, because when you see the light go on in someone's eye, and you know that you partook of the goodness of God, you broke a piece of the bread of the goodness of God, you gave a piece, and guess what? Just like Jesus and the 5,000 that he fed, the goodness of God is like that bread. And the more you start giving it, the more there is to give. The more you start dishing out Jesus, the more there is. And guess what? If we don't start dishing it out, then we only look at the 5 loaves. But once we start breaking it, and yes, you can put structure to it, and you can make them sit down in groups, and you can have helpers and disciples and servants, and that is what church is, and that is what we're building. But the more we give, the more there is. Because my Bible says, 2 Corinthians, that God gives bread to the eater, but he gives seed to the sower. So let's become sowers of hope, sowers of goodness, sowers of Jesus, sowers of the love of God. And guess what? There's an abundance. Our mindset is lack. Our mindset is limited because if I give you, it's going to be to my account. No, with Jesus, it's different. With Jesus, it's different. The more you give, the more there is. And guess what? 12 baskets full left over. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? It came from generosity. It came from giving because the disciples were also hungry. They just didn't want to say it. They blamed everyone else that was hungry. Mom, I think brother is hungry now. I think, you know how it is. When are we going to eat now? I don't know, but Mom, I think my little brother is hungry. Meantime, your tummy is grumbling and you don't want just want to say. They didn't want to say that they were hungry. They were hungry, but what did they have to do? I don't think they ate first. Simon Sinek has a book that says leaders eat last. Why? Because you arrive full. The Bible says don't come hungry to a meal of honor because you're going to make your name bad. Eat beforehand. Paul writes and he says to the Corinthians, don't come to the meal of communion and indulge yourself. That's not the point. We can indulge ourselves in Jesus because as soon as we start giving, the multiplication kicks in. And where there's the goodness of God and the multiplication of God, all of a sudden there's more than enough for everyone. But the longer we hold on to this Jesus, because just maybe he's not good enough, or maybe I don't clearly know how good God is and how much he wants to bless me, just maybe I can't see the fact that there's more than enough. It's so in my heart tonight, there's more than enough, there's abundance, there's more than enough for all of us. I wrote this in a blog and this will help just explain some of it. I wrote this recently. So you have a house in maybe a bad area. It's just an all right area. It's not great. It's maybe deteriorating. Your neighbor's house, I mean, the grass is this long. The paint is chipping off. The walls are leaking. Everything is bad there. So what is he doing to your house value? He's bringing it down. Not your fault. Amen. Not your fault. What did the first Adam do? He messed up. Your value went down. Not your fault. Now what happens if that house now gets cleaned up? Gets refurbished, new roof, new paint, some landscaping. All of a sudden, your value goes up. Now, what did that person do? He had to spend something in order to increase and to fix up. But now that house is worth more, and if he did a good job, it's worth more than what he spent. Amen. So say the house is worth $1 million, he spent $100,000, it's 1.1 million. We're on that math. That house is now worth probably 1.5. Where did that 400 come from? So there's 400 added to the value of his house, and then you come and your house was worth 1.5 from the start because you look after your things. Now you've got a 1.5 neighbor, so all of a sudden your house still looks better. Now you had 1.7. 200,000, 400,000, 600,000. Where did it come from? But we think God is limited. It works in the natural. Guess how much more it works in the supernatural. But the thing is, we sit on the goodness of God. We sit on the money. We sit on the things. We're not sowing because God says, I give bread to the eater. What is bread? Bread is crushed seed. You're taking the life out of it. You're taking the multiplication factor out of it. And there's nothing wrong with it. We need it. But don't take all the multiplication factor out of all your seed. Get some seed in the ground. You need to live off the word of God, but you also need to share the word of God. And God gives seed to the sower, not them that will sow one day when the ship comes in. No, those that sow, those that give, those that share Jesus, those that break the bread of Jesus, the fresh bread from heaven. Break a piece, there you go. Break a piece, there you go. Break a piece, there you go. And all of a sudden, there's more than you had. How does that work? Oh, this works maybe. Break a piece, there's some Jesus. Do you know how good Jesus is? And you're not burning out. And you're not running dry. And there's more than enough going around. And now I give to Etienne, and Etienne starts to have enough, and he turns around and he gives to Nikita. And Nikita has enough, and she gives to Patricia. And all of a sudden, there's more than enough. And I believe there's more than enough, then when Jesus comes back, they'll be left over. The miracles will not have all been cashed. The money will still be lying around. The seed will still be in our hands. Why? Because we don't understand clearly the abundance of God. The abundance of God, the generosity of God is our steering wheel, but the generosity is the key to increase. Generosity is not just about money. Really, it's not. It's the least use. Let's be generous with Jesus. Let's be generous with love. Let's be generous with righteousness. Let's be generous with grace. Let's share with the people around us. But guess what? They will only want to hear what you've got to say if you've got joy. Hope. And that comes from righteousness. It comes from identity. Joy is part of your royal inheritance. That's what God gave. That's what Jesus said. He's the Prince of Peace. But he's also joy. The more we give the word of God out, the more there is. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We don't rejoice in what is happening to us. We rejoice in the Lord. Good things happen to you, you can be happy. But that's not joy. Because joy is not circumstantial, whether good or bad. That's happiness. Happiness goes with good circumstances. Sadness goes with bad circumstances. Joy doesn't matter. Joy is based on the Lord. Is Jesus with you when things go good? Yes, he is. Is Jesus with you when things go bad? Yes, he is. So you can have joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Let the gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Wow. Nothing. Fear, anxiety. Yo, but thing is often, you've been through a situation, you've seen the pattern, and then the first thing shows up that is similar to where you've gone. And maybe you lost that battle. Don't become anxious. You do not have to lose that battle again. You never need to lose a battle. Because why? You're more than conquerors. Yes, you might have slipped up. Maybe your faith failed you once. It's okay. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Condemnation means you are not fit for use. If there's no condemnation, it means you are always fit for use. Yes, but I messed up. That's fine. You're still fit for use. Yes, but my faith didn't work in that circumstance. When I prayed for that person, they did not get healed. That's okay. Don't condemn yourself. Because as soon as you condemn yourself, you stop the flow of the power of God. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Let Jesus just flow through you. Just open the tap of goodness, joy, love, the fruit of the Spirit. Let it go there. Don't be anxious for nothing, not even for a trace. But by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, not the peace of yoga, not the peace of eating perfectly healthy. I like to eat healthy, but I can't always eat healthy. What if you go on a mission? What if you go to America? It's difficult to eat healthy in America, amen. It's really difficult and really expensive. It's really expensive if you want to eat healthy there. Guess what? God knows. He won't fall off his throne. Why? It says in verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So anxiety is usually born on the inside of you. It's just, the devil just shoots an arrow. But guess what? You've got the helmet of salvation. Righteousness. Salvation. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you've got the armor of the King. You've got the armor of the King. You represent kingdom. When the Springboks wear their jersey, they have the armor of South Africa. When you show up, you've got the armor of the kingdom. And it includes a helmet to protect your thoughts. And when anxiety shows up, when fear shows up in your thinking, you take it back to salvation, which includes the fact that you are right with God, that you are saved, that you are sozoed, healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. Healing, delivering, prosperity, and wholeness shoot counter all the fears that the devil shoots in your direction. Then you've got the breastplate of righteousness. You can go down, but your head, your thinking is protected by the fact that you are saved once and for all time. Hebrews 10 is all about that. One offering for all sin, for everyone, for all eternity. Who's Jesus? Let me tell you. One sacrifice for all sin, for everyone, for all eternity. That's who Jesus is. That's what we preach. I need to get on with this. Acts 26 verse 2 says, I think myself happy. That's short and sweet, but that's pretty cool. Paul says, I think myself happy. What do you see, think on? Philippians 4, 8, he gives us some direction, what to think on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, that means life and wholeness, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think consistently. Rehash them in your mind. That is what it's all about. We need to think about it. We need to live in that space. So we're looking at the joy of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at peace. Peace is part of the kingdom. Prosperity, peace, quietness, and rest. That is the word for peace. It's not shalom in Romans because they wrote Greek, even though Jesus or Paul probably said it as shalom because if he spoke Hebrew, but this is a letter, so he wrote it in Greek, and he wrote that that word peace there, and it causes and includes prosperity, peace, quietness, and rest. Now, I don't know about you, but when the people sat to eat of the bread that they did not work for, when they weren't at work, by the way, that's a word for someone, when they received the fish, when they received the loaves from Jesus, they did not work that day. Wow, I like that. I like to work. I work really hard. But they did not work that day and they still ate a good meal. There was more than enough and they did not work. Why? Because their provider was doing his work. And they were doing their work. And what was their work? To sit at his feet and listen. To sit at his feet and listen. Mary and Martha. The one serves, the one works. The other one sits at his feet. And Jesus says one thing. Is needful. And she chose the good part. My Bible says it's either by grace or by works, but it cannot be both. It's not the same thing. You're either supplied by grace or by works. Yes, you can work and you should, but you should work from rest, from quietness, from peace. It's a mental state, peace, that can only be achieved by being assured of your salvation. That's why you've got the helmet of salvation. The mental state of peace is only for those. It's for a select few. The word peace is so deep that you only have it. You literally can only have it if you're saved and if you know it. No one else. Just think of that. No one. And then you know why the world is in the mess that it is. No one that is unsaved has this. Now just think how they wake up in the morning and how they go to bed at night and what they live with every single moment of the day. And then when we want to condemn them again for how they react, just think that they do not have this. They do not have this. They cannot have this because it's not as the world gives. It is as Jesus gives. And if you don't get Jesus, you don't get it. But we who have Jesus need to wake up and realize that we have it. We have it. That is the good news. It even speaks about the state after death, the sweet by and by, like people would say. This word peace is deep. It says that you can only have it if you're saved, or you can only have it when you're dead. Now guess what? Galatians 2:19. For I through the law die to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, or of the Son of God would be a better translation, who loved me and gave himself for me. You need to be dead to have this. Guess what? You're crucified with Christ. Tick the box. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. Joy of the Holy Spirit. Peace is so deep. Righteousness, which is not based on your works, but it is based on so much more. It is based on God and what He gives you. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The other translation says, we cry. We literally cry for you to receive what God has paid. We cry. We yearn. We plead for people to receive this because we know that they need it so much. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God is found not in circumstances, not in behavior, not in performance. It is found in person. The person of Jesus. The person of Christ. Your salvation includes righteousness. Now we can live and we can think and we can operate from that perspective. My salvation includes peace. My salvation includes righteousness. And then Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. You need to take it. You need to grab hold on it. And I think this is what God had so stirred on my heart, even in the worship. We need to take hold of it. We need to take the bread, break the bread, give the bread. And yes, in that, there's enough for you to go around. There's enough for you to eat. And only when we start doing that, the abundance then kicks in. The abundance. I don't know what to share. I cannot lead a life group. There's life group leaders here. Maybe you think, I don't have something to share every week. I don't know how. No, God gives seed to the sower. I don't know what I'm going to say to my neighbor. You're not sowing, so you don't have seed. You've got seed. There's seed in the Word. Get in the Word. Start using one seed. Maybe get 30-fold. So you share with one person, there's a return. Now you can share with 30 people. Then you share with those 30, and you get better, and your skills become better, and the Holy Spirit is working. He's working all the time, but now you're hearing. Now you're operating in words of knowledge. Jesus operated in words of knowledge all the time. So many people were impacted by the words of knowledge of Jesus. But he was operating in it. He was stepping out in faith. He was going for it. We need to take hold of what God has for us. Remember, biblical peace is only for those who die. And we have died in Christ. Now, to conclude, I want to show you something from Gideon. Judges 6. Judges 6. Let's start in verse 11. No, let's start in verse 10. Also, he said to them, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites. That's a word for us as a church. Do not fear the gods of this world. Do not fear the powers. Do not fear the principalities. Do not fear bad news. Do not fear what the devil wants to do in your life, but just praise God for what he is doing in your life. But you have not obeyed my voice. Listen to God and follow him. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah. Ophrah was not the first with that name. Which belonged to Joaz the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed out wheat in the winepress. Now, I don't know about you, but wheat does not get pressed out in a winepress usually. It gets pressed out in a threshing floor. Amen. But there's a winepress for wine. Now, what is it? This is a small thing. The winepress is much smaller than the threshing floor, but he was hiding and he only had a little. They weren't operating in abundance because they weren't operating from a godly perspective. They were for 7 years under the Midianites because they did not want to do things the way God wanted them to do things. Amen. So they were in lack. He did not have enough wheat to go to the threshing floor. He had a little bit of wheat because every time he sowed, the world came. The Amorites came, the Midianites came, everyone came and just impoverished them time after time. They let them do all the work and then they come in and they destroy the harvest. Now maybe that is what we're allowing in our lives. We do all the work, we sit in church, we go to life group, we get all the word in, but then we don't keep the birds out. No pun intended. Amen. Those birds knew they were in trouble because Jesus said two turtle doves is part of the offering. Amen. But that's a different story. We need to get the word in our hearts and we need to keep it in our hearts. We need to keep it in there. So, the angel of the Lord came while he was in a wine press. Now, what I want to, well, the picture that I just had in worship, I didn't share this in the morning, is he is bent over. He's in a small space. He's doing the work. He is oppressed, depressed, and compressed. And God says, you mighty man of valor. You mighty man of valor. Why? Because it's not circumstantial. It's not whether you cry yourself to sleep or not. It's not whether you're fighting with anxiety or not. It is because of who's in the inside of you. The spirit of fear cannot stay. It will try. There's a bit of a wrestle. But when perfect love shows up, it casts out fear. You see these big guys, the bouncers. There's a bit of a tussle when they take someone out. But honestly, they don't have a chance. Fear is kicking and screaming in your life. Anxiety is showing up and it does not want to leave you. But to be honest, it doesn't have a chance. Because perfect love comes in and says, eviction. There you go. Out. And this is the same. He says it's not about where you hide. It's not about your oppression, depression, or compression. It is about who's inside of you. Verse 12 says, the Lord is with you. That is the, we always focus on mighty man of valor. That's not what this is about. It's about the Lord is with you. It's about having God with you. Gideon said, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened? Maybe that's a question. If God is so good, why is things bad? If God is here, why am I not seeing him? If God is here, if the word is true, where is the miracles? This is what he asked. Where are the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, do not know the Lord, bring us out of Egypt. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, now, you need to go read this for yourself. I don't have time to go through all of it. The angel shows up. The angel speaks. The next moment, God speaks. So the angel is there, and God says, no, this is not serious. I'm not speaking. So now the Lord says, verse 14, go in this might of yours. What is this might? The Lord is with you. In that is your power. In that is the answer to your anxiety, to your fear, to your depression. In this might, not in my strength, but in him that is with me. It's no longer the angel speaking. It's the Lord himself. Why can God speak? Because the angel just said, he's with you. Mighty man of valor. And I think God was speaking. Now, this is Old Testament, so it doesn't say that God was there all the time. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's Hebrews 13:5. That's for us. That's after the cross. Mighty man of valor, God is with you. Who speaks next? God. You're a mighty man, mighty woman of valor, because God is with you. And guess what? He's not going anywhere. He's speaking. He's speaking to you. And he says, go in this might of yours. Verse 15, so he said, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? No, Gideon, you got it wrong. You can't. But he with you can. Indeed, my clan is the weakest. He goes on. And then the Lord said to him, verse 16, surely I will be with you. It's like, you need to get this. This is the key, Gideon. This is the key to freedom. This is the key to conquering the gods of this world, is to know that I am with you. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Now God is with him. We just had marriage prep this afternoon. Two becomes one. God and Gideon, but we'll defeat him as one. So God is so part of us that when the world sees us, they think it's us, but we know it's not us, we know it's God. But he is one with us, so he makes us look good. Amen. But it's by his power, it's by him that we do these things. He said to him, if I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that thou talk with me. He says, God, I need a sign of grace. He's in the Old Testament. He's under the law. Things are not going well. And he wants a sign that he says, you know, this is so good. And I'm closing. I'm really closing. This is so good. Here is, he's just the presence of God is right there. The voice of God all of a sudden is speaking. He's not seeing him. That's why he's looking for a sign, by the way. But God is speaking. He does not ask for a sign of judgment. He's under the law. He does not ask for the Ten Commandments to quickly be brought to him so he can just read through it and see if it's really God speaking. He does not ask for that. He's encountering the very presence of God. He's hearing the very voice of God for the first time, most probably. And what is he asking for? He's asking for a sign of grace. Ooh, that's good. So that he can know that it is God who is speaking. Not anyone. He's not crazy. He just wants to know that this voice is the voice of God. And the only way that he will know that it's the voice of God is if I can have a sign of grace. Because God is a God of grace. Even in the Old Testament, he says, God, I want to know that it is you. So show me a sign of grace. And then, for a moment he has it. For a moment he has it. And then he goes back into his old thinking. Look at it. He says, verse 18. Now, it's still Gideon speaking. He says, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering. So he wants a sign of grace. He realizes it's God is a God of grace. But he's under the legalistic Mosaic system. So he, in order to encounter God, he needs to bring an offering. That's his thinking. It's not his fault. Amen. That's where he's at in the Bible. It's not his fault. It's the Israelites' fault. But that's a different story. He says, show me a sign. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Oh, God is good. You just figure out your life. You bring your offering. I'm just going to be here. God can give him the sign right there, by the way. He doesn't have to wait for him to bring his part. But he wants to bring his part. So God says, okay, I'm going to be here. I'll wait until you come back. Verse 19. So Gideon goes. He prepares a young goat, unleavened bread with some flour. Or the meat he puts in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. Now, there's a lot of symbolism there. And he brought them out under the terebinth tree and presented them. So he brings meat in a basket. Jesus came, he was in a basket. Moses in a basket, sign of Jesus as well, by the way. Meat in a basket, unleavened bread, communion bread, Passover bread, and some soup or sauce. Now the angel said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay it on this rock. Oh, this is good. Put it on the rock. What do you put on the rock? The meat? Bread. And then, but what about the sauce? He's staying there with the sauce. What's this? He says, and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. So he's got the meat, he's got the bread, and he's got the broth, which is a sign of the blood. It's all on a rock. So he brings his offering, what man can bring, what Jesus in the flesh could bring to Golgotha, what Jesus in the flesh presented on the rock, meat, unleavened bread, without any sin, bleeding out for us, pouring us out. Is that the sign of grace? Not yet. Not yet. Because it's only man's part. Only man's part. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand. What is a staff made of? Wood. So you've got the meat, you've got the unleavened bread, which is a sign of no sin. You've got the sauce poured over. That's what man can bring. He brings a staff from the top, piece of wood, and he puts it on the rock. It touches the blood, it touches the meat, it touches the holy offering on the rock, sign of the cross. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. It's only in the cross and Jesus on that cross that the curse is taken away. Paul said that I preach Christ, but I preach him crucified. That's what we preach. Yes, we preach him resurrected. Yes, we preach him risen. We preach him, Ephesians 2:6, seated in Christ in heavenly places. But how did he get there? He died on a cross. He brought the offering. There was a cross. And in that is the sign of grace. The cross takes away the curse, and the offering is now once for all sin, for all eternity, for everyone. And the angel goes away because it is finished. The encounter with God, the sign of grace, the picture of Jesus, because that is who God wants us to see him as. God of grace, abundance, goodness, peace, a kingdom that we are part of. Not a worldly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Ghost. Not in our circumstances, in the Holy Ghost. Peace, not in our circumstances, in Jesus. Righteousness, not in our performance, in God.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.